Out this morning, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, and we'll start there. Just what a privilege it is to be alive and to be able to be saved. You know, because God could have just abandoned us and left us as orphans when we rebelled against Him. But I want to give you something here this morning and just talk to you about sin and God's perspective on sin. It's not ours, and we're going to kind of contrast a little bit about the difference between our viewpoint of how we can deal with it and how God deals with it. But in Matthew 12:31, Jesus is talking, and he said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Now, let's just go on and clear up the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, all right? The unforgivable sin is to reject Jesus Christ. Because the work of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is to draw people to Christ. That's what the Spirit of God does. That dwells in us, that searches the world, that draws folks to the gospel. And so when somebody blasphemes the Holy Spirit, they're blaspheming the work of the Spirit. They're rejecting the work of God. Thus, they're rejecting Christ. And if they die in that condition, they will stand for their own sins. Their sins won't be forgiven. And they'll have to pay for their sins, which they can't do. And so they will have to go to that place prepared for Lucifer and the fallen angels called hell. And they will never be able in that place to pay for those sins. But so that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But he said all manner of sin and blasphemy. Now, blasphemy is to deride things, to reject things, to talk evil of people, to talk evil of something, to make fun of it, but just to deride. I mean, the words can't be strong enough what blasphemy is. And all manner of sin. Okay, so let's see. I got some verses, just a few scattered out verses I want to give you. How many manners of sin are there? I mean, you know, we're talking about manners of sin. Now, we can't count all the sins you can do because anything that is against the will of God, anything that is not according to His design is a sin. Right. So that means every act of selfishness, every act of self-service, every word that's not that doesn't please the Lord, it's all a sin. Right. So we couldn't count the sins. I could start in and start... And you say, but preacher, that means I probably sin every day. You probably sin every hour. I probably sin every minute. You know, it's like I heard a story one time about a guy went to heaven and, I know what it was. The guy went to heaven and he left all his buddies behind, but he made him to heaven. And they took him and they had all these clocks with second hands and hour and minute hands. And they said... He said, "What is that?" They said, "Well, for all those who are still back on earth, every time they sin, the clock moves." And some clocks were tick, 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 tick. Some clocks were tick, long time, then tick. And he said, "I see my buddy's name on that clock over there, and I see Joe's name over here, and I see Bill's name. Well, okay, that he sinned a little more than Joe. Joe sinned a little." He said, "Now, wait a minute, where's Ed's clock at?" And he said, "Well, they've got it in the back room using it for a fan." And... That's a good joke. Anyway, that one just popped in my head. I hadn't even thought about that for a long time. Sin. You would sin? We would sin every minute. I mean, we sin our whole thought process a lot of times. Our whole thought process many times throughout the day is not pleasing to God. Wow, what a condition to be in. But it says manner of sin. So, there are different categories of sin, all right? And so here's a few verses, Matthew 18:21. You want to go, I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 18:21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till 7 times 7? It's that famous verse where he said, no, until 70 times 7. You keep coming out and saying, I'm sorry, forgive him, forgive him. But it's a sin. My brother's sinning against me. And then in... 1 Corinthians 8:12 says, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So you can sin against each other. We sin against one another. I mean, we do. We sin against one another. That's one of those categories of sin. The Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments deal with this, sinning against one another. Now, all those sins that we do to each other, Jesus said can be forgiven. Now, some of them are bad. I mean, some are very destructive. You know what? I mean, how do you define sin? If you look in the Bible, you'll see that everything that God put in His Word and every commandment describes an action that is destructive, that brings about death, that brings about loss, that causes offense, that damages people. Everything God put in the Word that He called sin. And so every action we perform against one another, anything we do to harm one another is a sin. Anytime we're inconsiderate of each other, it's a sin. As a pastor, I could sin against you just by being inconsiderate of you, by brushing you off, by choosing my gain instead of yours. That would be a sin. I could sin against you by gossiping about you, by saying malicious things about you, or sharing information about you that's damning or damaging to someone who's not part of the solution. That would be a sin. I could sin against you. I could sin against you by taking your money, by stealing from you. I could sin against you by whipping you if you offend me. Right? You know I'm not going to do too much of that. But I could sin against you. I could sin against you by coveting your wife. I could sin against you by hurting your kids. I could sin against you. I could sin against you by coveting your money, by not wanting you to succeed. I could harm you, and you harm others too. Those are the sins that He said be forgiven, sins against one another. Now, some of these sins are terrible. Some of these sins we don't want to see forgiven. Would God forgive a murderer? Somebody took another person's life. Jesus said all manner of sin. He'd forgive that sin. Would God forgive a pedophile? Yeah. We don't want to see that one forgiven. Somebody hurt a child. Somebody abused a child. But isn't that all manner of sin?
Right.
It's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But God would forgive pedophilia. Would God give adultery? Would He forgive adultery? Oh, He has. He's had to do that many times. Would God forgive fornication? Yeah. Sins that we do against one another. He said all manner of sin shall be forgiven, man. All manner of sin shall be forgiven. That's tough for us to swallow. But we'll get to us later on how we deal with sin. But God said He'd forgive it unless a person decides they haven't sinned and they don't confess those sins. If you don't confess you're a sinner, how's God going to forgive it? If you justify your behavior and say, oh, it's not wrong. I have a reason for doing what I've done. I mean, this is what has led to the entire homosexual, transgender mess we have in our country, is that people begin to tell them, oh, you're born like this. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to go against God's design. It's not a sin to go against God's creation. It's not a sin to go against the very foundation thing that will wipe out the family as we know it. It's not a sin because it's not wrong. God made you that way. And you see, because they say it's not sin, what it's led to. We live in a world, for the first time in the history of mankind. Now think about the gravity of this. For the first time in the history of mankind, in this generation, 26 nations have redefined marriage to be whatever, between whoever. Now listen, you guys talk about, well, you know, Lord could be 100 years, Lord could be 1,000 years coming. We don't know when He's coming, but I can tell you this. The world's never been in this spot before. There's been no, I mean, I know there's always been homosexuals, I understand that. All the way back to possibly Ham and Noah. All the way back. But I can tell you that it's the first time that the world in general has said it's not a sin. That's where we're at.
That's right.
That's where we're at. You don't think that's significant? That's significant. Because, so if you say I have not sinned, James said, if you say you have not sinned, you deceive yourself. Mm-hmm. And the truth is not in you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one, Paul said. Not one.
Right.
Not righteous. None of us are righteous. We've all sinned.
Right.
There's sins against one another. And to recognize those sins and to confess those sins, God said you'd be forgiven.
Right.
Then there's other sins, other categories. He said in Romans 7:23, but I see another, this is Paul speaking, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Warring against me in the law of my mind. There are the sins of the mind.
Yep.
Now, there's the sins of intentions, the sins of thoughts. I went and sat on an ordination board yesterday to ordain a missionary. And so in the 2 hours that we spent with him in question and answer sessions and things like that with this young missionary, we gave him a lot of advice. I mean, my goodness, more advice than the young man could ever remember. I just finally told him, I said, you know, I'm glad that God made our brain the greatest computer that ever was, got a recycle bin, and all this stuff, that everything you ever see or hear goes into it.
Right.
And you think that you can't remember it all, but you don't consciously remember it all, but it's all there. And thank God that as you live your life and you do your ministry, that it's all going to come back to you.
Amen.
I mean, one piece at a time, it'll come back. Oh, that's right. That's what those guys were talking about. That's right. That's what that scripture is talking about. But you got to hear it and get it in there.
Right.
So we gave him a ton of advice. But I tried to give him just two or three things that I thought was critical. But I told him this. I said, one thing that is so critical. Don't let the battles of your mind ever get out of there. Say, because temptation begins in the mind with your thoughts. That's where it all starts. That's where lust is conceived. That's where covetousness is conceived. That's where anger is conceived. That's where lies begin. Everything starts in the heart. Every single thing starts in our mind. And I said, as long as you keep the battle there, then it's between you and God and the devil. And if you just keep it there and never let it out, nobody needs to know except God. And just win the battle of your mind.
Amen.
Win it there. Defeat him there. Defeat that temptation there. End the battle there so that nobody ever knows you had the battle.
Man. Yeah.
I think if all of us, including your pastor, if we all knew, if you knew the battles I've had in my mind, if you knew the thoughts, if you knew the temptations, if you knew sometimes the emotions that I think through, and even the temptations, I think you would, instead of being scared to death and saying, oh my goodness, how's he my pastor?
Yep.
I think you'd probably say, I understand.
Yeah.
Because there's the battle of the mind.
Right.
And you have it too, don't you?
That's right.
Every one of us have it. Don't let it out.
Right.
Tell no one. You say, you got to talk about it. No, you don't.
Right.
You got to tell somebody. Don't do that.
That's right.
No, you get on your knees and tell it to God.
Yeah.
You pray about it.
Right.
You get into scriptures and start trying to find those verses and jump out and say, this will take care of that.
That's right.
You make up your mind that it's not going to win. You make up your mind that it's not to be spoken. You make up your mind that that is not, you're not going to sin in your mind.
Right.
That it's going to be right there. You're going to finish it off right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to get counsel about that.
Right.
You don't have to tell your buddies about it. You don't have to sit that stuff out there and the demons of hell hear you say it. No, you just go on your knees and go to war.
Yeah, that's it.
Have that prayer room.
Right, brother.
That place.
Glory.
Well, I'm telling you, I've had to make a lot of drives for hours at a time by myself. And I know Miss Vicky's, I said, "Brother, honey, I wish I could go with you, you know, on school visits." And yesterday's a three-plus-hour drive one way to get where I was going. And I got home, and I said, "Hey, you know, Miss Vicky, she felt a little bad, and she went home. She got to have some alone time. She never hardly is alone. And she got to have some alone time. At least I'm around bugging her anyway most of the time. And so she said, "You know, it was just good to be alone for a while." And I said, "Well, and I said, "You know, I agree with you. That's right." She said, "Well, it was. I just got to be honest with you. It was." Well, what you don't know, if you knew how many hours I've spent behind this wheel winning the battle,
yes, sir,
going down the road, just me and God and my thoughts and the devil. You don't know how many trips I've made. And you say, "Boy, that trip was for that." No, it wasn't either. Those 6 hours on the road that day was I came back victorious.
Yeah.
I'd been dealing with something. And I got a time alone to just look at the road and pray and cry and defeat the devil.
Yeah.
And get it out of my head.
That's it.
And make up my mind. Amen. There's sins of the mind.
Right.
Don't let them out. Yeah. Beat them right there. You said, "They're tearing me up." God will help you. Pray, fight in your mind. It's a battle of your will, because if it ever gets out, if you ever take that first physical act upon that thing that you're thinking about,
yeah,
it may draw you so far, hard and so fast down that you'll fall down.
Right.
You won't spiral down, you'll fall down. You'll be drawn down, knocked down. And then you'll be wondering about the consequences,
yeah,
of what you just did. And you'll say, "Oh, God. It should have never got out of my mind. I should have never lost my will in this matter. But I did."
Yeah.
Oh, fight that fight. But God will forgive those sins.
Yeah.
And if all you need to do is just confess the sins you've thought about, then you never had to confess the sins you did.
Man.
If you confess the sins you think about, you will never have to confess the sins you do. Right?
Right?
I said it twice.
Yeah.
That means it's important. And then, in verse 6, 8, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body."
Right,
we have sins against ourselves. Actions that destroy relationships with us. Actions and words, and actions that tear down our strength and take away our sanctity and our integrity because of our behavior. Yeah, there's sins that hurt others, and there's sins in your mind, but there's also sins that you do and you perform that hurt you. It was a pitiful thing last Wednesday night in the jail. Brother Frank and I saw a man that Brother Frank had worked with for several years. I mean, I didn't mean work with on a job, work with in the addictions ministry. And I know everything Brother Frank did for that man. I know all the sacrifices he made. And I know the hours and other things that he did starting out to try to help that one man. And that man walked into our church service, and we hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And he was ravaged. He looked like he was dying. He's not very old. That man had sinned against himself. That man had sinned against himself. But I've seen it over and over again. You see somebody ragged by their sin. Their life is spiraling down. Their health is gone. Opportunities will never be there again.
Right.
They burned all their bridges. They've not only sinned against others, they not only sinned in their mind, but now they've sinned against themselves.
Yeah.
I've seen women that came here in this church to visit, on the bus, some of them, as young girls, and pretty young girls, pretty teenagers. And then you go 10 years, you don't see them.
Yeah.
And you remember them well because they were involved with the youth, involved with VBS, involved coming on the bus. And you think, wow, you know, there's so much potential there. And then you see them when they're 30. And their teeth are rotted out. Their skin's wrinkling. They have no weight. They look horrible. Such pretty women. Because they've sinned against themselves. They have sinned against themselves. You say, I wouldn't do that. If you lose the battle in your mind with something, and you start to burn your bridges to sin against others because you lost that battle, yeah, you can lose a battle against yourself too. But that's the last of it right there. That's when you end up with an identification tag on your toe. And people just come to the funeral home and shake their head and say, why? What a wasted life. Because they sin against themselves. Now, I'm not going to go on. I've got another part of this sermon, and I'll probably preach it this afternoon, if not this afternoon, another time. But I think I need to stop there and challenge you.
Amen.
This morning, and challenge myself about the horrific nature of sin. It's because of sin that people go to hell. You were going to hell because you had sinned against God. But how could God forgive us for all these sins? It's because of God's mercy. No. No. It's because of God's mercy that he came to this world, but it's not on mercy that he forgives your sins. It's his mercy is why he came. His forgiveness has nothing to do with mercy.
Right.
His forgiveness has only to do with justice.
That's right, brother.
And God himself became a man. And he went to a bloody cross. And he suffered for all of our sins. Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine how much he must have loved you, every human on earth?
Right.
He took all the sins and he covered them in his shed blood. Brutal, horrific, suffering death that we should have paid.
Yes.
Suffered our hell. Suffered our punishment. And now he took his blood into the Holy of Holies of heaven. And he sprinkled them on the mercy seat. He sprinkled them on the cherubim. He sprinkled them on the Ark of the Covenant. Behind the veil. And God the Father who sits on the throne. When we get there.
Yeah.
All of our sin.
Yeah.
Is under the blood.
Thank you, Lord.
And the blood washed it clean.
Jesus.
And I'm not going to be tried for my sins. They're took care of. They're still being took care of.
Right.
Even when I sin right now in the heavens, the blood of Jesus is sprinkled for me on the holy seat. Just like the priest took the blood and the offering. And again, it's sprinkled on the seat for all my sins that I ever commit, even after I'm saved.
Right.
To when I get there. My works are going to be tried. Of what manner of work I built on the foundation. But my sins he has put as far as the east is from the west. And I can enter the kingdom of heaven. Present it faultless. But I'm not faultless. How can I stand before God and be presented faultless when I'm so guilty? It's because of the blood.
Right.
And some theologians want to take the blood out of it.
Yeah.
They just want to say he had to die for us. No, he had to take his blood into the heavens.
Yeah.
And he has purged everything with blood.
Right.
It's the blood, the shed blood, that represents the suffering and the cleansing. And there's something supernatural about it.
Right, brother.
And I'll stand there and Jesus, my advocate, will say, hey, he's mine, Father.
Yeah.
And when God sees him, he'll see the blood on me. He'll say, yes, all I see is you in him. I just see you. And then Jesus will judge my work to see what he wants, how he wants to use me in heaven. Are you ever going to say you're a sinner?
Yeah.
When do you confess sin?
Yeah.
How many days go by that you don't go to bed at night and think, I'm ashamed of that, Lord, that I said today. Forgive me. How many times you walk away from conversation and you say, oh, Father, forgive me for that. I said something. I treated that person in a way that I should not have treated them like that, Lord. And I want you to forgive me. And I'm going to go back and tell them that I'm sorry because of the blood. That's how God deals with sin. All manner of sin. The worst despicable, horrific sin that can be committed can be forgiven.
Yeah.
That's how God deals with sin.
Thank you, Lord.
That's how he does it. Right there. How could you know this? How could you believe this truth and not humble yourself before God? How could you believe that if you're not saved? How could you hear what I've just said this morning and look at that great story that man could not have made up and explains everything about how awful we are?
Yeah.
How could you hear this and not come to Christ and say, I'm going to hell, Lord, because I'm a sinner. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Please save my soul and shed and sprinkle the blood on me. Cleanse me by your sacrifice and shed blood. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Just from my thoughts alone, I deserve hell. I'm not righteous. And how many Christians just need to come to God periodically and say, Father, oh, cleanse me. You told me if I confess my sins, you'll forgive me. I'm your child, and look what I've done. Look what I've thought. Look what I almost did. Oh, God, I confess, Father. And when you're saved, you can say, Father. Father, forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's how God deals with sin. Does he need to deal with your sin today? Let's bow together for prayer. Father, help us as we have a song of invitation. I confess, Father,